What's up, guys? It's Black Lightning Episode 3, and we're hopping right into it. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
You guys.
Oh, these green lights.
It's a lot. Okay, I'm going to let you guys go to church while I finish finning out this link. But get your lives. Like, I'm not disparaging.
Someone gets slain in the spirit real quick. Like, falling on over. Yeah. What's up, guys? We are so happy to be back for week 3, episode 3 of Black Lightning. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And I could not do this without my lovely melanated panel. What's up, guys?
Hey, guys. I'm Shay Jones. You can find me at Real Shay Jones on Twitter and Instagram. Well, I just realized we both have Jones
melanated. Yeah, we're not related.
Wow. I just realized I never paid attention really.
But
this
cool.
Lovely, amazing lady to my left is...
A very slow tweeter. I'm so sorry. I tried to make sure everybody has the link. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique and every week at blackgirlnerds.com.
Hey, y'all. It's Portia Carter. You can find me on all things social media at Portia Carter.
And we live, baby.
Okay. My headphones are sliding off.
It's a problem. Dude, okay. I'm telling you.
Natural
hair
problems, man.
I don't even know.
The fro won't let me go. Okay. What did you guys think of tonight's episode?
It was dragged out a little bit. I feel like everything happened all at once. And it was just like, it was over before I blinked. And I'm just like, how did this happen, you know?
We have had a very action-packed first couple of episodes here. Episodes 1-3, you've got, like, the death of a mother. You've got the introduction of Black Lightning and a kidnapping. All happening in the first 3 episodes. So I feel you. This was definitely, the love conflict is kind of gone here, which is really driving us for the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So they're taking some time to flesh out the world a little bit, explore little minute details of people's lives. So I agree with you. Not as intense and exciting as the previous episodes,
but some of
the insight was very interesting.
Yeah,
it was a little mellow, and everything happened all at once. And I'm just trying to figure it out. Like, all I did was blink.
I think it was a really solid episode, but because our standards were put so high for the first 2, that even though I think it's still a better episode than other shows, it was just like.
I think episode 2 got me.
In a good way or a bad way?
I'm saying, like, out of all 3 episodes that has been shown, episode 2 is my favorite.
That's fair.
You know how you said this one was the best one? I really think, for me, it's episode 2.
No, I don't think this one was the best one. I agree with you. Episode 2 was bomb. I'm just saying because the standard was so high with 1 and 2, even though 3 was a really good episode, it just, like, wasn't 1 and 2. So we're like... critiquing it.
Yeah, like, I was acting like there wasn't a sniper shooting at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
It's still pretty action-packed.
Yeah.
I missed the Jefferson and Lynn tension. I feel like this episode confused and muddled their relationship a little bit for me.
I'm sick of it. I already let y'all know how I feel about that.
I enjoyed the episode. I didn't think about blink like it was over too fast. I feel like everything happened slow enough for me to just be like to catch up. Mm-hmm. And like the introduction obviously of Lady Eve and Anissa learning her powers was amazing.
I feel like it happened in the blink of an eye because it was just like all jam-packed but on real like level plane. Like nothing was high or low. We got the funeral, Lady Eve, Anissa, the breakup, I want to have sex. Then everybody did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like well, not dead, but people hurt, you know, and it's just like, what just happened, you know?
Do you guys feel like the aftermath of, like, LaWanda, like, her passing away is kind of parallel to, say, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, how it really blew up after Trayvon Martin?
No.
Like, do you kind of see the parallel there?
No.
Not at all?
I can see it. Especially,
I don't think they did it intentionally, but I think, like, it is
kind of...
I think
they Black Lives
totally
Matter
intentionally. Like, LaWanda's
the whole Black Lives Matter like, adding that in there kind of, like, was like, yeah, it makes you think. Maybe this is a Black Lives Matter.
It's a Black Lives Matter fighting black-on-black crime.
No, well, I'm just saying in the sense of, like, there was this, you know, act of crime or whatever that was, like, the breaking point, the enough is enough.
Yeah.
Like, the Trayvon Martin was, I feel like LaWanda in this storyline.
Yeah, so Black Lives Matter started after Mike Brown died.
You're correct.
And
then
Trayvon Martin effed a lot of people up because he was 12 and in a park and playing. I do see a lot of similarities between just in, and again, if you have somebody who's a pillar of the community, like, again, this is ex, I can't remember if she's Army or Navy. I'm sorry, military folks. I forget which branch she was a part of. But she's military. A veteran. She is a mother. She, her husband died in war. Mm-hmm, like, yeah. There's a lot to look up to in LaWanda. And so I think that her passing and then the senselessness of it, too. And it's on video. So, yeah. All that stuff makes sense to me.
Yeah. Were you going to say something?
I'm taking it all in. I agree. I just feel like I can definitely, like she said, I can see the similarities mm-hmm. in both instances because, but that's also with any action, like not just Black Lives Matter, but any other big thing, it needs a catalyst to start everything off.
Yeah, but the thing about that is I wouldn't compare it to Black Lives Matter movement because even though it happened in a way where somebody dies and now we all fed up and we want to march and stuff, they was marching before that. Like, Anissa went to jail because of a march, you know? So they was already riled up about the city. They was already complaining. They were already talking to the news and everybody's doing interviews and people like, we're Black Lightning, that they were already, the city was already had enough. This was just like, basically what Reverend said, you know, Black Lightning has given us inspiration and hope to continue our marching, you know? So I think that's what it was. Like, not only have we been riled up, but we're going to continue with greater force. And now it's more people going to be involved because we're not afraid anymore.
For sure, for sure. What do you guys think of the Reverend and, like, his stance on everything?
The Reverend was so interesting.
Interesting.
It was so interesting.
A great word.
He's a complex character. Well, the thing is, like, so, I don't know if you guys are, like, stands for Greenleaf, but I totally am. My great-granddaddy started a church, so, like, church culture is so fascinating to me, especially if you have, like, a holier-than-thou attitude at the pulpit and some other things going on elsewhere. We didn't get into all that here with our Reverend, but I did like the idea of him, like, first of all, talking down the police and being like, look, y'all are not doing anything. We're tired of waiting. You're not going to postpone our march. But then also for police to turn around and call him out and be like, yeah, but like, I wear a work shoes, so what are we even,
like,
Ty, are you really here for the community or are you just benefiting off the money they give you weekly? Important conversations to be had. And I like that we're not going to become totally involved in that. You know, he's going to live, right, Reverend?
Yeah, it looks like it.
So we might come back to it, but I feel like I have this storyline and enough other shows that I don't need to be swamped in it here in Black Lightning. But it's interesting to see it touched upon.
Especially because church in most Black communities is a pillar of the community in most towns. But seeing, like, even the church is fed up, like, the church is having a say in what's happening. That's actually, I feel like, a little different than what happens in most towns.
Yeah, because the church be real quiet when stuff going down. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, I'm a part of the church. Like, I'm full out. Me and Jesus, we got a great relationship. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it is, you know, our job as believers to speak on different things. But in the real world, like, on the east side of Detroit. You know, the church is quiet about certain stuff, and I don't believe it's a thing like, you know, they're scared. I just said they don't know how to approach it sometimes, you know? And I believe that right now, the Reverend is approaching it the best way he knows how, and he's putting a lot of faith in Black Jesus / Black Lightning. And even though he talks about his faith in God, I believe that he feels like nothing is going to happen without Black Lightning.
Yeah, because he, like you said, you gave us hope. But, like, I agree with you. I love the fact that he called the police. Like, people in your department are getting paid by the 100. And he didn't even deny it. That's what I thought was interesting as well. Like, that's something you should be denying, Henderson. For his character, the way I'm kind of seeing him, the way he's shaping out, at least to me watching, like, he would, like, disagree with that.
To me, Henderson is like Detective Gordon. Mm-hmm. Gordon is aware that his department is corrupt and not doing well. That's exactly why he goes back to Gotham to become chief of police. I feel the same way with Henderson, who's just like, look, I know that we have issues, but if you don't work with me, I can't get things done. Henderson does not have the power to remove the bad cops. Like, he could report them, but if you guys have ever seen anything about police internal affairs, you understand that that's not always such a great idea for the cop doing the... Like, this is a real challenge to figure out how do we remove corruption from people that enforce laws. Like, that's just inherently, as humans... When you get that kind of power, some of us are going to go corrupt. It's absolutely a conversation to be had and has to be had. But I think Henderson, by just kind of skipping over it, did the only thing he could do in that option. Like, to deny it, first of all, to a reverend, second of all, inside of a church, third of all, standing next to your best friend, a pillar of the community who's aware that these are issues, would just make you look foolish. Or you'd just be like, no! He's like, sir, we're aware.
Yeah, and it's almost weird to ask him or to expect him to lie when both in this, you know... the DC universe and in real life we want accountability with police and we want them to be real about things, so it's like he was being accountable. I'm still not 100% sure I feel like he's on the right side of
I still feel sketchy about this man. Is comfortable in his crib walking his dog in silk robes at night, like, fool.
you ain't scared of no community.
You're not, like, I mean, I understand there's cops on your block to protect your neighborhood, blah, blah, blah. And you, you know, head of chief of staff or whatever you are for the...
Freeland Police Department.
Yeah, the police department. But at the end of the day, like, he shows no sympathy for the people. And it's all about trying to not make the 100 mad. So at the end of the day, you getting a check from them too. Because if you want to keep some peace between them, obviously they paying you. You on their payroll, just like Shay said last week.
I would be on their payroll too. That would be floored.
I would actually be floored, even though I my inkling is that maybe he is, because when he's talking like to the Reverend, and even he's in his in that interview with the lady, he's like, he calls Black Lightning, a vigilante, and he's doing so much more to cause a lot more, you know, crime and violence in the city. But don't blame him for coming back when it was happening before he even came back for 9 years.
You guys don't attribute his, because to me, he just seems like a guy who's just really into law and order. Like, there's a process and a way to handle criminals, and the ideal is not to become a criminal yourself. Like, don't break the law to protect the law. I feel like that's kind of Henderson's stance. But you guys disagree?
No, I agree with you. I think he sees everything very black and white, and there's no room, like...
There's no room for gray.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, homeboy ain't breaking the law by saving people. I mean, of course, a few cars get smashed, a few windows get broken, but at the end of the day, he's saving your life.
As a citizen, you cannot jump in and just, like, punch people. Like, technically, that's against the law.
Yes, you can.
If you're being attacked... You can protect yourself.
Yeah.
If you jump into other fights, you could be considered an agitator or as, like, somebody who is enhancing the fight.
Or somebody that's keeping the peace.
Also, I think I have discretion.
Become an officer and get the badge and become a peacekeeper. Again, according to the law.
Yeah. Because there's also destruction of property and, like, the list goes on of things that he technically could be.
But that's the talk of more, like, of the laws doing more harm to us than it is working for us. That's a whole different other conversation when it goes in that space for me.
I feel like destruction of property is pretty black and white. Someone smashes my car. I don't care if it's Black Lightning or if it's Black Jesus.
You're paying for it.
I'm going to feel some type of way about it. Speaking of someone who makes me feel some type of way, we finally got to meet Lady E.
Yay!
Jill Scott.
Woo! First of all, I love that it's like, it's in a funeral parlor.
Yes, I love it in a funeral parlor.
She's just like, she's writing thank you notes, and she,
her grace, her presence. Like, it's just,
but it's like, what got me was like how she's sitting there, like, she kind of reminded me of that movie with Katie Holmes, like Mrs. I can't remember, it's like Mrs. H something, but she was like very, like, happy and calm, but there's an insanity,
so unbothered,
it's so, it's an insanity right underneath that, like, it's like a hair scheme right underneath that, but nobody realizes it until it's too late. The insanity's even there.
Yeah.
What I like about her is she's my favorite type of villain. The kind that are still so prim and proper and have, like, a certain way of doing things, but are actually, like, terrible people.
Those are my favorite. My favorite villains are the smart ones, the ones that are not going to get caught. And she's created so many layers we can already see between herself and the people she has out doing her dirty business, then you know she's going to stay clean for a hot minute. Like, it's going to take a lot of work to trace all that activity back to her. The thank you notes, the fact that you run a funeral parlor, like, again, good citizen check marks, like, you serve a purpose, you're being helpful, absolutely, you employ people, that's the last place they look. I love her. I hope her outfits get more dramatic as the season goes on.
I'm sitting here like, who has bodyguards behind them while you writing thank you notes? Like, who is this person? You know what I'm saying? But I just love how she has so much power over Tobias. Like, when he's in her presence, he's a baby. Just basically like how Lala was to him. Like, he's shut down. Like, aww, he wouldn't even let her know, like, no, I don't believe in God. He like, you know what, I ain't even crossed that spirituality type, you know, stuff like that.
Tobias knows, but you can't talk to older black people about not being religious. It's not worth it. I'm like, saying, let really me just skirt this conversation. She's like, oh, yeah, you know, I really appreciate you, auntie, and your faith, and it's beautiful. I'm not one to cross Jesus, you know, so cool. We're cool. We can move on now. I love Tobias. Like, every episode, I love him a little bit more.
Actually, so beautiful. That I is can't something you can't do as a black person. Never try to talk to an older black person about, like, faith and religion, because you will be there for hours and hours and hours while they try to prove to you about faith.
Unless you have faith, in which case, engage in those conversations. They're very enriching if you're like, yes, I'm actively involved in this.
I'm about to play with him.
No, but, like, I love what she said, and she, I'm not gonna probably like her, but I love what she said. She's like, I don't mind if people believe in God.
Yeah,
they just can't believe in taking back these streets. Like, for it was like,
because it's not about that.
It's not. It's not about.
It's not a God thing right now. And I think throughout this episode, they were trying to decipher, like, is this a God thing? Is it Black Jesus or is it Black Lightning? Mm-hmm. And I feel like with them trying to put the two against each other, it was kind of confusing, because it's like, so is this episode supposed to be about, you know, religion and how people put their faith in other things before they put their faith in God? Or is this supposed to be about, you know, evil people overpower godly people?
I think it's about, like, in your interpersonal relationship with faith. I think, okay, so in Jefferson, you see him struggling between, am I Black Jesus or am I Black Lightning? Like, am I better as a principal operating and being able to help in that way, being able to talk directly with the police? Or is it better for me to be out in these streets, like, upgrading my technology and actively protecting people? With Lynn, you kind of see it in, like, is it my family or is it like, my husband and my whole family, or is it my kid? Like, where do I take charge and how do I separate that? With the Reverend, it's, you know, my faith in God has pushed me to do active works. Even as someone who's a part of the community who should be working with the police, idyllically, like, things are not getting done there, so I have to push my faith to an active space. And I kind of like that about this episode, this idea that faith is so individual and personal and changes so quickly, kind of based on what you're going through and who you're around. We saw a lot of people's attitudes change real different when other people entered the scene this episode.
I agree. Yeah, I totally agree. Episode gave me, and I, like, apologize, I've been out of church for a minute, but isn't there a saying, like, faith without work is dead?
Yeah,
and I feel like this episode kind of put that really into action for a lot of people. Put it in for the Reverend, it put it in for the people of the church, it put it in for Jefferson.
But it's also something, the Rev even came for Jefferson. It's almost like what Anissa said in the first episode, did you give up on your people? Like, and that's also something you have to think about, like...
Which, can we... We need to talk about the Reverend's moment in that, because I thought that was kind of shiesty.
What?
To talk to Jefferson about, like, not being in the neighborhood when, like, I built a school and a safe space within the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not, like, his house is clearly outside of the bubble that they're talking about. Jefferson even brought up himself a couple episodes ago, like, I have the white picket fence and I thought we could hide and be safe here. But... like, if you own, operate, run a school within a community, I don't understand how that's running away from that community.
Yeah. Especially when your kids are in that school.
And teach in that school. Yeah. And you're there every day. Like, it came off as weird for me, for the Reverend, to be like, you're not here. I deal with our youth. What? Yeah.
Right. I'm raising these people.
I'm only protecting the kids who could possibly go into the 100. Like, I feel like if anyone's doing work, it's Jefferson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are a couple moments that I felt like the Reverend maybe didn't know that Jefferson was Black Lightning, but there are certain things he said that I was like, are you sus on the situation? Like, because he, just the way he phrased things and, like, the glare down, I was like, what's really good? Like, what do you know that I don't know that you maybe know?
Like, sometimes I think the show is just like, we're just going to put things in there that's really going to touch black lightning.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get the feeling that he ever knew, but there were certainly moments where you're like, Jefferson, are you listening?
Yeah.
Do you hear what's being said? Okay, good. I'm proud of you. Jefferson's just so beautiful.
Speaking of
Scooter.
Beautiful people, Anissa, I loved her little, like, trying to, like, tap into her powers and get them working in the junkyard.
She had her workout hair on. I was like, this is everything, these thick-ass braids. And to see, like, I like watching her work through a process. You know what I mean? Like,
so ill.
What?
The thick-ass braids.
You're funny.
Okay. I really like her. Usually it's even like, oh, I'll just punch things and I'll just get better at punching. But if you've ever taken part in a fighting club or class, you understand that that's not exactly how it works.
She's like, it's my breathing. Okay.
That was just
like,
such
the more she
moment.
Breathed, the stronger she got. It was so amazing. Like, a whole, what was it, a dryer fell on her back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she that was an engine. Yeah. That was an engine. But I was like, that would
destroy
you.
It was a dryer she kicked.
Okay.
Oh, the dryer's what she kicked.
Yeah.
And she was wild to break it, though.
She was wild and letting that thing hit her, because we did not know, like, I mean, granted, if you're a comic book person or you've been watching our show, you know that she does have those kind of indestructible powers. But if you're Anissa and you didn't know that you're indestructible, just letting that thing hit you.
Yeah, she should have ran, but I think it was a thing, like, let me,
not ran. I'm like, that's more to step to the side.
This is an unsafe scientific.
Moved out the way. I run.
She didn't even flinch. I was like, I flinch when, like, my fly iron's too close to my face. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know why you're just standing there.
I mean, but that was probably like a test of her strength. Like, let me see how strong I am. If this thing follow me, is it gonna hurt? But she breathed that thing through. So when she got up, she like, oh.
Now, like, I feel good. Like, let me just, you know, do my little tie ball, kick this thing right into the hole, you know. Lightning structure.
It's true.
Speaking of things that didn't hurt Anissa, she's single now, so.
Thank God.
And ready to mingle.
And ready to mingle.
On this relationship.
Can we talk about Grace having an original Outsiders comic book in her back pocket?
That was so cool.
That was
cool.
Can we
mention that? Cause come on now.
First of all, this is the kind of connection
dope,
I was looking
but, you know,
for.
I ain't never been a comic book person.
That's fair.
It's fair.
That's cool.
That's not for everybody.
I just want to be honest because I know this show is based off a comic. Listen, I know Portia Carter does not read comic books, but because this show is so amazing, I'm about to, like, try to tap into that, like, see what's going on.
Oh my gosh, there's so many places to start you.
Really?
I feel like you would really enjoy Wicked and the Divine.
Nurse, or I always forget it's called Nerdist, I think.
Oh, yeah. I got lots of comedy shows.
Oh, you talking about The Meltdown?
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, Nerdist Room is there. I would suggest you go visit Amy Dallin over at House of Secrets right here in Burbank. Amy's on a ton of nerd networks. You've probably seen her around. But that girl will find you a comic book specifically designed for you. You'd be like, like these couple shows in this movie. Amy's like, you want to read
for
this?
For a black
and
girl who loves Jesus and like chocolate cake.
I love
Hot Cheetos as a comic book.
I promise you, she will have a pick for you.
I've got a lot of things that I just like in life. That I would like,
Hot
if
Cheetos.
You could give me, like, just French fries and Instagram. And, let me stop.
I think you would like the new Archie comics, but we'll talk about it after the show.
But, yeah, so about this comic book, like, I thought she was going to, like, hand her the comic book, and she opened it, and then it's the Black Lightning comic book with her finding out that that's her dad, and then it's two daughters and black. And I thought she was about to get the whole rundown from that book.
I don't think we're going to get a reveal to the girls of who their dad is until the mid-season. I feel like we're slowly working our way toward it with Anissa getting stronger.
Yeah.
I feel like what
happened. What if they never find out?
They'll find out. I feel like they're going to pull up on each other trying to do the same rescue.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's going to be like that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other.
Totally.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those moments.
Wait, okay, couple of things. One, Anissa's girlfriend, who I cannot remember her name.
Chinoy.
It doesn't matter. She's not here anymore.
She's annoying.
How did you guys feel about how Chinoy popped up in the club?
First of all,
is this PC etiquette or is this
like,
wait,
no, you got a tracking device on my phone?
Right,
now?
That's what I was thinking.
Like,
too. I'm like,
because
did you check me?
Why do you know where I am if I didn't tell you where I was going?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and I'm just dancing, so now I'm cheating on you. That's a whole.
That's the meme.
Now that's a different conversation about, like, when you're dating somebody. What is cheating to you?
So we doing pop-ups. That's what's going on. So what's doing? We're just pulling that. Y'all pulling our game strong. That's what you saying.
But you gotta think of your... Okay, like, look. Like, I'm gonna just play devil's advocate. As the girlfriend who's like, hey, babe, I need, like, more of your time. I'm really, like, I feel a certain way about you. I should be in a relationship. And just, yeah, boo, I'm just going through a lot, and I can't really talk about it right now. And now you're up in the club with some hoe, I don't know. Like, while I think that there might have been better ways for her to end this, you know, like, destroy her car and just walk away and ghost her and never return a call.
Eliminate that.
I respect that she had to do what she had to do in this moment.
So I understand where you're coming from.
Sometimes you get angry.
No, for real. I've been in that predicament where I had to... You gotta let people know.
Hold on, guys. One second. I'm so sorry. Jeff, in the chat, they're saying that our video is freezing up quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot, actually.
I'm on it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Oh, for don't me, freeze on us. Hey, y'all. Y'all can see
me out here. My favorite when she came in, she was like, hey, Miss Black Lives Matter up here. You with an Asian? Looking like an Instagram hoe?
That's racist BS.
Yeah. That was a little far for me. Here. Don't call me Instagram hoe. Like, that's a little far.
This is just a random person I'm dancing with. You have no idea why I picked this person. And for you to just call out her race and be like, I can't. But yeah,
that just goes so much to show you that Instagram is popping. Mm-hmm. And if you're an Instagram model, that means you popping, because obviously she mad that you popping. But at the end of the day, like, first of all, like, I'm going to keep on saying, like, she already let you know what she was about. She already let you know she wasn't on that. She already let you know that what you want, she can't give you.
But she did not state it specifically. She was so subversive with it. Like, yes, you should have picked up on those clues. Yes, you should have left. But she does that stupid thing where it's like, I'll give you just enough so you don't leave, because I don't want to be lonely. Anissa was selfish.
And see, that's what people get when they don't want to be lonely. They get some fugazi mess because you decide to stay. At the end of the day, you can pick up and leave and you can walk away. You don't have to deal with none of that.
And let me be clear about something. Like, being in a relationship just so you're not lonely, that shows me that you need to work on your own self, because if you're not happy, you will not be happy in any kind of relationship.
And your relationship is a lot. Nissa's really good at suppressing everything. She's not telling her mama about stuff. Anissa, how long you think you keep that secret? Not very. She's not talking to her sister. She hasn't been around. She's really her good mama at expressing herself.
Oh, yeah, knows. I was going to say, mama knows.
Mama knows.
But what? Final question about Anissa, because I know we have a lot to cover. But do you guys like Grace for her? Yes. Based on the very little bit of information we got.
No.
Yes. I'm going to ask the other queer lady first, though.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Not the other Grace, queer how you lady. Doing? I'm not about to play with you.
I like Grace for now. There's a few things that she said that made me feel like they're obviously gonna get together, but there's a few things she said. For instance, I had it written down. The saving the world would be lonely thing. That kind of, I was like, ooh, if you guys get together, I don't know if you're gonna be able to tell this girl.
I'm gonna do an early prediction, but I have a feeling Grace is gonna be way too much like Lynn.
No, we're still on this side first.
Yeah.
Get it. What's up?
No, first of all, I don't like... Not that I don't like Grace. Mm. We don't know her.
We meet her
one time. Because first of all, Anissa got something going on. We got to protect her gift at the end of the day.
It's like, true.
We got to be on the front line of battle for her, because she's going for other people. So at the... We don't know you. We met you in somebody's library. Mm-hmm. You invited me to of all things to portray your life for me. You invite me to a party with costumes and stuff. And it's then on top of that,
this seemed like she was having fun.
Okay, cool, have fun. But at the same time, like, your whole little interaction when I started talking about saving the world and all of that, that's lonely. Like, those comments, yeah, those rub me the wrong way, because at the end of the day, like, what if I tell you right now that I'm a superhero? You gonna look at me like I'm stupid and walk away? Or how is that gonna play out? And then, like, you being in the middle of a love triangle, no matter how you got there, it's never a good look. Like, how the relationship started is how it's gonna end.
Do you have a lot of nieces and nephews? They're lucky to have you. I don't know how many you have, but they're lucky.
Actually, I only have one niece.
Look at you giving all this auntie love behavior.
That's it. That's it.
Yes, I like that you're raising your hand.
She did it.
I had to let y'all know, we gotta protect the Nissa. We can't just be out here, you looking know, flying her around with everybody that walk past. Girl, you better take them Asian eyes somewhere else. No, and I'm not being a racist. I'm just saying.
She's like, no one is good enough for Anissa. I'm drawing a line. You all lose.
Okay. We good?
We don't know her, though.
We good? We good. I'm
okay,
waiting.
Okay, go ahead.
We lost her.
Sorry. She said we lost her.
Though I agree with you about the fact that we don't know who Grace is and what she's truly about just yet, I do love the chemistry that Grace and Anissa first have.
Ain't no chemistry. That's lust.
We didn't see it with her last girlfriend.
They had their conversation was nice. They hit it up. It's a spark. It's early. Yes. But there's something there.
And if somebody invited me to a cosplay party, yes, I'm going.
I'm saying, just saying, if you want to.
Also,
we will show up.
Work Anissa put into her appearance. Like, Anissa was about this. She was like, Grace, bet.
Yeah, her makeup was banging.
She had the cat ears. She was ready to go.
I kind of thought it was funny that we didn't see any DC character cosplay. Like, any, like, recognizable cosplay we didn't see. And I was curious, like, when we saw her getting invited to the party if that was going to happen. And it didn't. So, you know, it's whatever.
Baby sister.
Sorry.
So many thoughts.
My throat, like, I'm getting sick.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Don't worry, I'm not contagious. But my throat just, like, shut down for a second. What do you guys think of Jennifer, since we're on the topic of the sisters? Jennifer's little...
She is such an adult. She is such an adult.
Did you guys... Were you guys that open with your parents?
Hell no!
Was that it?
No. I love my parents. They know, like, 99.5% of my life. I try talking to my mom about guys, like, I've dated, and she's like, I don't want to know. I don't. Yes, that part. So we never got farther. Like, when I came out to her, there were lots of tears. But then she was like, I just mad that you didn't tell me. So I was like, cool. So we can talk about literally everything else but this aspect of my life. And actually, I'm okay with that line.
So, okay. So for me, my mom was totally different.
I was reckless.
Bitch, you were in the east of Detroit.
I wasn't even thinking about talking to my parents about it. I was just acting on instinct.
I'll let you go first, though. I want
to
hear this.
I mean, but of course I didn't tell my mother. I mean, of course I didn't talk to my parents about it. You know, my dad, he did, you know, try to tell me about sex a little bit, you know, in the meantime. But, you know, I was raised as a church kid, so... For church kids, we're taught you're not supposed to have sex till marriage. So when I decided to experiment, you know, it just so happened to happen without the knowledge of my parents. But then, for real, I did tell my mom when I lost my virginity. That didn't go so well, but just the whole situation as a whole, like, I couldn't even, it's a long story. But it didn't go so well. But after that, I was secretive about my stuff until, you know, what's done in the dark shines in the light, and everything blew up in my face because I was out here reckless. Like, I was a whore. Okay. At a young age.
Listen, I thought I was slick back
from 15
then.
To like from 15 to 17 I was old.
I thought you were about to say that from 15 till now.
No, from like 14 to 17 I was old.
Oh shit.
I love the relationship though that Jennifer has with her parents. Like I kind of envy it a little bit because, now that I'm an adult, I have a relationship like that with my parents. But I thought I was so slick when I was...
I still ain't got no relationship like that with my parents.
I thought I was so slick when I was younger.
Okay.
And, like, my mom was like, no, I know. I knew.
It's okay, girl.
I know now.
She was just like, Lynn, like, I...
Yeah. She was like, I peep it. You were doing your thing. It's fine.
So...
Not you doing your thing. It's fine.
For me and my parents, like, it was totally different thing. Like, me and my dad, like, we're very stubborn people. Because I'm laughing so hard. You got me. Me and my mom, however, like, I could talk to her about everything and anything. Sex, no, obviously, because I've never had it. Hi, surprise. Only virgin unicorn here.
You're a virgin?
Yes. Shay. Nobody can know how old I am.
Well, so is Jennifer, because she didn't get it.
How old are you? None of your business. We'll find out after the show. But when I came out to my mom, technically, it wasn't even coming out to my mom. I was like, what would you say if I brought a girl home? She was like, I'd be happy if you're happy. I was like, okay, we're good. We're good. So that's kind of, I talk to my mom about everything. When I have sex, I probably talk to her about that then, because we just have that relationship. But until that happens... Yep, and please don't blow up the comments about my virginity, though. That's all I
am. I'm about to blow up the comments about your virginity.
Oh, what?
Why? All right,
we got to keep moving.
That's a blessing.
We are running out of time. Real quick, I loved the Jefferson versus Khalil in the hallway.
No, I hated that shit.
I say I love it, I mean it made me so incredibly uncomfortable.
I hated it.
Principal.
I was sitting there like, ooh.
It's your principal, so there's already this whole dynamic dynamic that's weird. The way Jefferson was like talking, like, how do you shower? I was like
inappropriate.
I mean,
at the end of the day, you want to make sure them balls clean before you put them up in his daughter.
That's just that opening question. I was just like, I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm not happy about where you're going with
it. It's a weird start. On top of that, I really don't.
Stuff like that too.
Well, we know how you're going to be with anybody going with your kid, okay?
Joelle.
This feeds a little bit into toxic masculinity for me in that, like, your daughter came forward to you about something she was ready to do.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you were concerned that he was pressuring her or something, that's a conversation you need to have with her first. To take it outside of that context to the kid, I just feel like he doesn't, at this point, really have anything to do with it. Like, she's made a choice. She chose him. I think the conversation lies with her. You felt out of control, so you did that yourself. And I was just like, Jefferson, this is a sad point for me.
Which is a very dad reaction, actually.
I did not have a dad like that at all. My dad is so low-key, offhand. He's like, what are you doing?
My dad's not a shotgun person, but I feel like he would have figured out how to buy one. If I even said that to him. My dad's from the old school. I'm talking, he's from the old school.
My daddy not on that either. Even to this day, I'm grown, and he's still, I know you're going to have these feelings, but, you know, Portia, you know what the Bible say. And I'm here. And if I was in their predicament, what I know now about sex and, you know, how detrimental it is before marriage and all that stuff, I would probably, you know, let them know that. But at the same time, like, you got to live your life, because I live mine. You know?
Yeah. Not to toot my own horn or anything, but I did predict something bad was going to happen to Khalil.
You sure
did. I'm not happy.
The minute
you
happened, said, I was like, damn it, Drew, no!
That he was going to be like some evil type stuff. You didn't.
No, she didn't. She just said evil. She said something bad's going to happen to him.
I said something bad.
I thought you were coming off as he was going to turn for the worst.
Oh, no.
This was the complete opposite.
I said something bad was going to happen to him.
I'm trying to figure out how that gun, like, even hit. Like, I understand how it hit
went
him,
through
but,
Reverend
like,
and went to him.
I know, which is like, still, that's sad.
The girl with the death in her eyes can't shoot, right?
Right? She really can't. I'm like, you have
like,
a scope.
Like, how'd you miss?
You have a scope on a sniper.
She didn't miss.
On a sniper. How did you miss?
She didn't miss. She shot once. It traveled through the Reverend and into Khalil and hit, it ended
up.
Yeah.
But she was supposed to shoot Black Lightning. He said, take Black Lightning out.
They don't know Black Lightning's live. Tobias doesn't even know Black Lightning.
Hold on. They pull up into the car. Black Lightning is standing right there. He's like, no, he can't be alive. I killed him. But he's looking at Black Lightning's back.
You're right.
Now, he says, take that fool out. To me,
he said, that electrocuted fool. That's what he said.
He did, but you got to think about that. It has the feeling of a double meaning to me. I instantly knew they weren't going to take out Black Lightning. You hurt the community more if you take out the Reverend, and you hurt Black Lightning more if you didn't stop it. Like, that drains a lot of his power. Like, you were right there. Potentially. That's not how it turned out, because the crowd at the end was like, oh, but he saved so many more lives. Mm-hmm. But by taking out the Reverend in front of him, you know, I feel like that does a lot of damage to Black Lightning's psyche. That was kind of how I read the scene.
Gambi actually said something that made a lot of sense when he was planning the whole situation, or when he was talking about the whole situation. He said that the 100's not going to make a martyr out of anyone, mm-hmm. which the 100 wouldn't make a martyr out of Black Lightning or the Reverend. They want to make a fear move. And in my opinion, having Black Lightning right there and shooting the Reverend, it kind of like, luckily it backfired, but that would make them feel kind of helpless, like your superhero was right in front of you and he couldn't save you. Yeah. Luckily it worked out in our favor and, you know, hope is still alive. Mm-hmm. But
Khalil ain't going to like Black Lightning, because at the end of the day, he should have stopped that bullet. Like, this man, first of all, he was about to get some on Saturday.
He's not Superman.
And now his dangling don't work.
We don't know that.
His spine doesn't work. So depending on where
and then he's
like
a runner. He runs track. And now his feet ain't about to be moving for a minute.
And that was
and
whole
it's just
goal
like,
to get out.
No, I'm not going to like no Black Lightning. I'm not going to put my trust in him, because at the end of the day, I'm in a wheelchair.
Nobody made him come to that protest.
Khalil's storyline is going to be interesting from here on out, for all the reasons you just mentioned. Like, he cannot run anymore, which is the only way he was going to get out. You know, will his girl stay by him? We know, Jennifer, we assume that she will. But, you know, there's a lot of challenges that come with you know, not just not being able to walk, but like being freshly injured. Like there's a lot of psychological trauma to overcome from being shot. And it's a lot to ask the people around you to deal with. It's a lot to take on to support someone in that way. So I'm looking forward to, because again, this is Mara and Salim, so we know they're going to dive right into these challenges. I'm looking forward to seeing how Jennifer is going to navigate those waters. And also to your point, Khalil's kind of now wide open to do the whole supervillain thing if he wants to.
Yeah.
Because I would be okay with that. He doesn't have a ticket out.
Mm-hmm. His ticket out's now been taken away from him, as it looks like he's not going to be able to run track. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him dabble in some, you know,
villainry.
Not necessarily, I don't want to call him a villain. I feel like villain's a strong word, but I do see him possibly getting on his bull.
I mean, he's going to, if he does, you know, be on BS, it's only because of the hurt that he has and the pain that he experienced and the fact that Black Lightning was in the realm of all of that. And, you know, it could have been prevented, but it wasn't.
But, I mean, unless Black Lightning can hear a sniper bullet, my question is, how could I have stopped it
from something a lot of times not people either way? That don't stop people from being mad. It don't stop people's anger and their hurt and their pain. At the end of the day, I'm in a wheelchair.
I'm not going to discount that. You know what I'm saying? You're going to be angry. You have a right to your anger.
I'm in a wheelchair. I was about to get some, and I was about to use my legs as a ticket out. And now all three of those things are just, you know,
they're in question. They never happened.
So, Daryl said we forgot that Black Lightning suit is bulletproof, and the bullet has to have ricocheted.
What?
It didn't ricochet in this, but it still probably would have ended poorly if it had. But I don't think it ricocheted.
Oh, so that's interesting. I didn't see the bullet hit his suit.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It came from, like, if I'm Black Lightning and you're the Reverend, the bullet came
right
this way.
That's
right
how past, I saw. Like, I will watch that scene again though, because that's an interesting concept.
If it ricocheted, it would have bounced off. I watched a lot of
CSI.
Y'all
know who watched that scene again? Gambi watched the scene again. I don't trust him now.
See, okay, I actually think Gambi was in the right. Or not necessarily in the right, but I do think Gambi has a valid reason for deleting the footage.
There's no valid reason
because
for that.
Because if you're trying to have someone clean it, he didn't want Black Lightning to turn this into a personal vendetta just wanting to get Tobias. He's trying to look at it from the bigger picture. We need to clean up the streets. We need to take care of the 100 as a whole.
Remember, this is why he left Black Lightning in the first place. Was because he couldn't get Tobias. He entered to get Tobias, struggled for years, never got it. His wife was like, look, I can't deal with you being hurt. You're not even meeting objective. He's out. I think if he sees Tobias, you're right, his emotions are going to get the better of him. He's going to lose sight of the bigger picture. You help save people today. That's all you get to do as Black Lightning. Is every day, hopefully, you help a couple of people.
I agree. I think if he focuses on Tobias, there are a lot of it's going to be just like blinders.
It's going to be a tunnel vision.
Yeah, just Tobias, and we're going to see him compromise like he did before to the point where he wasn't thinking of his own safety. He wasn't thinking of the safety of people closest to him. He was just gunning for Tobias, and I think that's why Gambi deleted the footage.
I agree.
I like that.
Even though it was Law and Order, not CSI, I totally agree with that.
I mean, y'all points are valid, but I don't do that because at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to be helping me and you're supposed to have the ins and the outs of the things that you want to show me, I'm supposed to be able to see who did that to me. Who did this? Who caused this whole thing? Like, you don't this just be erasing footage and keeping things from me. How can I trust you?
That's definitely
that breaks
bite
a line
Gambi
of trust. Like, no.
That's going to hurt Gambi in the future for sure. Like, you can't just be lying to Jefferson.
Yeah, I it's going to have negative repercussions, but I don't think that the motivation was wrong necessarily. But what is your what are the predictions for next week? What do you guys think? For the season as a whole, you know, because we're starting to get bigger pieces coming together. Prediction.
Definitely.
Yeah, let's do it. Come on, Joy.
Lady Eve is gonna be pissed. Black Lightning comes out of this looking so good.
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna be even more riled up because your goal is not to make a martyr, but now you have these people who've been wounded. It was in public. There were children there. This is gonna cause a lot more police reaction just because the public is gonna be outraged. I imagine they'll be pumping more units into that area. It's gonna be bad. I look forward to seeing how she chooses to operate when she has to kick things into another gear. I feel like she's been able to lay low and just kind of do her thing for a while. Lynn, girl, you gotta leave this man alone. I don't understand any of her decision making this week. Why would you ever suggest to Jefferson that his girl should not live with him?
Oh, that was dirty. That was a dirty
move. That pissed me off.
And I like the way he handled it. He shut her completely down, and I'm like, no. Yes, you do that.
Because she
was disrespectful.
He's like a good dad. Like, that's the one thing you could say without argument. Like, Jefferson is there for his daughters.
He don't play that.
And there's no reason to take them away. Like, your fear should not be your kids' fears. I believe that very strongly. Like, you're entitled and you're allowed to feel hurt or a certain way about what Jefferson does after hours. But, like, that's a conversation that he should be allowed to have with his girls. It's not something that you should try to take from him or just separate them on the off chance that something like that might happen. I don't know if Jefferson is fed up or more... I don't know where his head is at with Lynn. This episode was so confusing for the two of them. Not just that moment, but then they're like, family dinners, will you come over afterwards? I don't know. Can you guys just figure it out? Like, what are you guys now? So are you co-parenting or are you getting divorced? Or are you guys a couple? I'm just... Oh, Lord, it's taxing.
I'm over it. So my predictions, I would like to... just first and foremost, just shout out Anissa for just wanting to be a bad girl. I just, you know. But y'all know what I meant by that. But yeah, she's so amazing. And I believe that her mother is going to find out about her powers. I believe that Tobias is about to be punished by Lady Eve in the worst way possible. And he's going to be upset about it and is going to, you know, outrage him. He definitely gonna kill Homeboy with the AK
that he thought
he was trying to set up to kill. He's gonna take him out. I believe Khalil within the season. Yes, he's gonna be angry and he probably may turn for the worse. But at the end of the day, he's gonna walk again. I believe that he's gonna walk again, and Jennifer is gonna help him through that. And the emotions that she have for him and his pain are gonna spark her powers.
Oh, I bet Anissa does some kind of surgery or hooks him up with a doctor or something.
I just had a thought. Go on.
Yeah, I know, I did too. You there?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. My prediction, I have a few different ideas for Lady Eve. Of her coming back, and maybe there's going to be like a power, even struggle thing between her and Tobias.
Yeah, Tobias can't be taken.
I feel like he's going to get fed up with it, and that showdown is going to be amazing. I actually think Khalil will walk again. I totally agree with you on that one, but on the flip side, I'm going to play a devil's advocate, and I'm Drew, and he's going to get better, but he won't be better for long, and that's going to be the end of Khalil. And that's what I feel like that's what's going to spark her powers for me.
Keep going. Sorry.
You're good. I was done.
Okay. I had to Google something to make sure that medically it made sense.
What you got, Drew?
So, because it has to do with his spine, I wanted to see if electrotherapy on spinal cords and like helping people walk again was a thing.
It is a thing.
And I think that we're going to sound like may not necessarily be my prediction from last week where his death or whatever is what triggers it. I think Jennifer's powers may somehow come into effect and help Khalil walk again. And since I'm
so pushes really
I knew it because I told
idea.
Y'all her emotion is going to be that's about to awaken her powers because like it helps in an emotional state. Mm-hmm. Like for Black Lightning, everything when he gets angry, mm-hmm. for Anissa when she went through that trauma, mm-hmm. and then for baby girl her the one she was just about to get it in with, you know.
Well, I will say somebody in the chat real quick was like, you can have sex in a wheelchair. I just feel like I should mention that because it was really funny when I read it.
Yeah, we had a whole plot line with Jimmy on Degrassi about that.
Right? Oh, right. We did.
Jimmy got shot.
When he was trying to have sex with Alex. Okay, but yeah.
There's a classic film coming home that'll tell you all about it. It's really good. It stars Jane Fonda. Check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Sex in wheelchairs
So it works? Like his penis works?
We don't know if his penis works.
It depends on
sex is not just penetrative. There's a lot of ways you can get it on. My guess is if he wants to find a way, he will.
Very, very true.
Well, Jeff.
On that note.
Well.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. My name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. And where can they find you guys?
You can find me at Real Shea Jones on Twitter and Instagram. Love Shea Butter on Snapchat. And thank you guys so much in the chat. I'm sorry we didn't get to really shout you out. Thank you guys so much for your comments and, you know, our familiarity. Lovely lady.
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com. And check out my Black Lightning stuff. What happened?
Someone said
it's Lady Eve Khalil's mom.
That would be a... Okay. But keep going. Sorry.
You broke Portia.
Portia, where can they find you? Oh, hey, y'all. Wow, it's a lot going on in this closing, but y'all can find me on all social media things at Portia Carter. Thank y'all so much for watching. Make sure y'all be right back next week.
Hey. Bye, guys.
Oh, my God.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.